to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is good. It is he that has made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. With that in mind, we will now sing our first song, which is entitled, He is Exalted. So, a quick intro, which is that Eric's voice is not suitable currently for singing.
I wish I'd said that.
So we have a an alternate Eric who looks nothing like him, but sounds much better at the moment.
At the moment.
Thank you. Please be seated. We are the people of God, and the scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that Jesus has died for us and intercedes for us with the Father, who freely forgives us. Psalm 51 says, Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. And from later on in Psalm 51, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. So let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and broken your laws in our thoughts, words and deeds, and in what we have failed to do. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to bring you honour and glory in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From the first letter of John, If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's join together in the prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given, for life and health and safety, for work and rest and friendship, and for the wonder of creation. Above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for your life-giving spirit, and the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us now stand and say together what we believe in. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. While we're standing, we'll sing our next hymn, which is Hear Our Prayer. Thank you. Please be seated as David comes up and leads us in prayer.
The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you. The collect for the 18th Ordinary Sunday. Let us pray for grace to find our fulfillment in God. Grant, Lord, that we may see in you the fulfillment of our need, and may turn from all false satisfactions to feed on that true and living bread which you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. God of grace and mercy, the news in the world weighs heavily on our hearts. A looming financial crisis that will bring suffering to many innocents. We see injustice and suffering in many parts of the world. The risk of nuclear war. We see looming climate change disasters. We grieve for a world that knows you not as Saviour. Lord, sometimes we don't know where to start, how to make an impact. We pray that you would give us the strength and courage to do the hard work of becoming aware and informed, becoming engaged when we can, and having the wisdom to know when to give support to others, better able to undertake change, restore peace, and tell of your saving grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the church worldwide and its mission. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the good news of salvation for all people. Strengthen us for our work in the world. Empower your church to proclaim the gospel in service, word, and sacrament. Unite in the truth all who confess your name, that we may live together in love to your glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray and give thanks for our brothers and sisters here in Greenwich. Lord, may our witness be always effective and faithful, our worship authentic. May our lives be renewed and transformed by Christ's indwelling Spirit. And may our hearts be bound together in loving service to one another in devotion to you. We pray and give thanks for the godly leadership of Eric and Stephen Pym and the support provided by Christine and Virginia. We pray and give thanks for all who serve you here, particularly the wardens, and pray for wise decisions and the energy to accomplish those tasks you have set before us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we pray for those who are ill and those in need, particularly Duncan Lupton, Rowan Allen, Graham Lowther, Vernon Ireland, Fleur Fowler, Margaret Roberts, Murray Holmes, and others known to us. We give thanks that you are the God of who brings mercy and wholeness. So comfort and heal, merciful Lord, all who are in sorrow, need, sickness, or any other distress. give those who care for them wisdom, patience, and gentleness, and to us all your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those called to missionary work. God of love, whose will it is that everyone should be saved, bless the work of our missionary organizations and all who will go and those who have gone to preach and to heal and to teach. We pray particularly for those known to us, for Julie and her work with CMS, Isaac Morrison in Port Macquarie, Richard and Sue Davies with AIM, our friends at Bush Church Aid, and for Open Doors as we remember the plight of persecuted Christians throughout the world. Guard, guide, and use them. Raise up more people in your worldwide church, that your church may grow, your will be done, your kingdom come, and your glory be revealed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, from your Son Jesus Christ and Mary his mother, we learn a pattern of godly parenthood. Give to those who have the care of children, parents, grandparents and carers, the spirit of wisdom, patience and love, so that the homes in which they grow up may be to them an image of your kingdom. May they grow in love of you. Save them from evil. Strengthen them against the impulse of self-will. Give them grace to follow day by day in the steps of your holy life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And we pray, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of your creation, planet Earth. We give thanks for the beauty and abundance of your creation. Give us and all people grace to live in harmony with your creation, wisdom and generosity in the use of its bounty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And would you join me now as we pray together? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive those sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, graciously receive the prayers we offer and answer them as may be best for us and for those for whom we pray, for the sake of our Saviour Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Right, sit easy. This morning we are privileged to have not one but two spots. So Eric, spot number one.
I'm actually going to call this spot 1A, because we've got another announcement, and that is we're so grateful to see the islands here at the back. In case you don't notice, they slip in and out most weeks, and so it's really great to see them at the times. But we have another special guest today, taking up centre stage, so to speak. Margaret, give us a wave, Margaret. Hi. Welcome. Good to see you. We'll catch up over a cup of tea. I've primed them all up to make sure they talk to you at morning tea. That's 1A. 1B, if we go to the next slide, You might know that we've been supporting BCA for a number of years, and one of the ways we do that was with those little boxes, but we found that since people don't have cash anymore, we've stopped doing that, and so it's the end of an era. But I'd like to bring up a quiet achiever who doesn't want to come up, but will come up because I asked her to. Wendy, won't you, Wendy? You're going to come up here. That's right. Because Wendy has been the BCA rep for us and been the one who collects the money from the boxes and hands them out. Come up here and tell us, how long have you been doing this for?
Absolutely no idea.
No idea?
No, I don't. No.
You've just been doing it and doing it and doing it. Well, that's marvellous.
15 years, I don't know.
15 years,
don't
it's know. Been a long time. That's good. She doesn't want to talk much and I don't want to talk much. So what I want to do is show you the next slide and say thank you, Wendy, a certificate of appreciation for all your work. And so I made a copy of that. And as you'll see later in the sermon, the service that's given for the greater for the glory of God, God doesn't get greater glory, he just has glory. The service given to the glory of God is exactly what we're meant to be doing with our lives. So thank you for being a quiet achiever and a humble servant. Right, the next one is
spot two,
which I hand over to Celia.
The presidential address really was quite inspiring, and you can go and see that in its entirety on the web. So the report for the 52nd Synod 2022, we passed 57 resolutions and 9 ordinances. Resolutions cover matters from ceremonial things such as the passing of Queen Elizabeth II and the commencement of the reign of King Charles III to matters of enormous significance to some groups, such as the classification of Jamboree as a parish, to matters of deeply significant and historic, the adoption of a report on Indigenous ministry in the Diocese of Sydney, or of great future significance, such as the resolution on the consequences of broken fellowship within the Diocese of Australia. All 52 resolutions are set out in the SDS circular entitled Synod Summary, September 2022, to be found on the SDN website, and we can print copies of this on request, and I have one copy here with me today. We can email you the link if you have any difficulty in locating it. We discussed diocesan-wide ministry, diocesan-wide ministry-directed property strategy, ongoing financial support of the Diocese of Bathurst, the establishment of the Glebe Administration Board as a centralised investment vehicle for the diocese. When it came to ordinances, probably of most significance were changes to ordinances which it is hoped will improve handling of HR issues, including bullying, unacceptable behaviour, professional standards, child safety, and the reorganisation of oversight into one safe ministry board. Money, of course, is always part of diocesan of decision-making in what is actually the parliament of the diocese, and the usual bills for taxes and expenditure form part of the consideration. The significant change was the Church Land Acquisition Levy Ordinance, which extended triennium funding to a 10-year commitment, enabling the Property Committee to approach banks to borrow against future income. A report on the changes to the Nomination Ordinance were referred to Standing Committee for implementation, and I urge parish nominators to look at this document. It is of great significance. Other items on which parish feedback was requested included working group to assist to provide feedback on issues and implications of the Voluntary Assisted Dying Act 2022. Unfortunately, that closed on the 14th of October, but I'm sure if you have a point of view, you could still lodge something. Longer-term issues on which your input was sought include the development of a diocesan property strategy, That's the use of property as a missionary strategy. And a doctrine committee report on the relationship between church and state in the absence of a religious freedom bill. Dean Sandy Grant continued his campaign against gambling. There was much talk on support for Anglican schools. The topics raised at Synod are diverse, and the moments when a seemingly routine issue suddenly becomes an issue of turbulent debate, or seemingly strategic points pass without debate, mean that your representatives must remain constantly vigilant. It was pleasing to see with what grace and dignity Archbishop Raffel managed his first synod, and such grace was also expressed by the delegates. Thank you especially to Rani Bruin for stepping in as a last-minute proxy for Hayley Hummerston, and congratulations to Rani for being the first St. Giles delegate to actually speak to a debate in my memory. Synod representation is a great honour, and I have always benefited greatly from the experiences of the wider community. Please speak to me or Eric or Rani if you have any further questions. Thank you.
Right. We'll now sing our next hymn, This Life I Live. So please stand. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and for showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Celia is now going to come and do the Bible reading.
The letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mysteries of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we also have obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards the redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the end. Here ends the lesson.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning for some. I pray that my voice will not distract you from hearing the truth of God's word today. I actually feel a lot better in the head than I sound in the throat. Wanted to begin with a question. Are we prepared to stand up and be counted as followers of Jesus Christ? Are we prepared to stand up and be counted as followers of Jesus Christ? You might have heard recently in the news, a man named Andrew Thorburn was recently pressured to step down as the chief executive of Essendon Football Club because of his faith in Jesus. It seems we are living in a time when society is forcing us to take sides on nearly every issue. Are we pro or anti-Jesus? Are we pro or anti-vaccination? Are we pro or anti-Trump? Don't answer that. Are we pro or anti-euthanasia? Are we pro or anti-same-sex marriage? Even our national church is not immune to such divisions. When a line is drawn in the sand, there is no middle ground on which to stand. From the beginning of the Bible, God has drawn a line in the sand and asked the people he has made, "Whose side are you on?" Adam and Eve chose the wrong side, with devastating consequences for all of us. But Joshua chose the right side when he put the same question to the Israelites, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me, I will serve the Lord. I will be on the Lord's side." Church history records the uncompromising faith of countless Christians who took their stand on God's side of the line and were martyred because of it. In fact, in the past century, more Christians have been martyred for their faith in Jesus than in all the previous centuries combined. The pressure to conform to the thinking of this world is increasing. It's always been bearing down on us, but it's increasing. There was a time when many of Jesus' own followers abandoned him because they didn't agree with him. Even his 12 chosen disciples felt the pressure to turn their back on Jesus. And when the chips were down, they did abandon him, and Peter denied him. So this is not a theoretical or a rhetorical question. God is still asking the people he has made, he is still asking us, "Whose side are you on?" Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at what it means for us to say that we are on the Lord's side. But before we begin officially, let's pray. Almighty God and Father, open our eyes that we may see your truth. Open our minds to understand it. Open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the ways the Bible talks about us being on the Lord's side is to describe followers of Jesus as being in Christ. The Bible says, we can say, "I am in Christ. I am on the Lord's side. I am in Christ." To make that stick in your mind, though, I want you to visualize yourself as the letter I and see yourself in the word Christ. I thought it might be politically incorrect to say "I is in Christ," even though that's grammatically true. I am in Christ. Before we consider the benefits of being in Christ, I'd like to ask the question, how did we get there? And does your answer to that question begin with the word "I"? "I believe in Jesus, and I put my faith and trust in him," or something like that. If it does, then you are 100% right. Romans 10 says, "If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." But Jesus pulls the rug out from under us when he says in John 15:16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." So we are also 100% wrong in our first answer. Or are we? Welcome to the paradox of destiny versus free will, or what some call predestination. Before the line in the sand was ever drawn, God chose what side we were on. Speaking to the faithful Christians in Ephesus, Paul declares that he is who he is by the will of God. And he goes on to explain that they also are who they are by the will of God. Paul says in Ephesians 1:4 that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And this takes away any sense of pride or any sense of being holier than others, which might come from the thought that it's our choice to believe in Jesus and to follow Jesus as Lord. We know the truth has always been that we love him because he first loved us. Any residual pride is removed when we remember that God's choice is not based on our performance or on our potential. And God reminded Israel of this fact in Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. It was not because you were more numerous than any other people that the Lord set his heart on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. You see, God doesn't choose us because we are worthy or we are good. He chooses us because he is worthy and he is good. When Paul calls himself the greatest of all sinners, it only serves to enhance his awareness of God's amazing grace. So when I see myself as the letter I in the word Christ, I am reminded, I'm also reminded that I am only there because of the cross I see in the letter T. So next time you're writing the word Christ, remind yourself, you put a little face on the dot of the I and say, that's me, I am in Christ, but I'm only there because of the cross at the end of the letter T. Sorry, I've just lost my sermon, that doesn't help, there it is. Every now and then, I'll just use this as an illustration, every now and then the government offers free travel on public transport. I love that. Love getting on the ferries and the boats and the trains and everything, buses. How much credit should be attributed to me for getting on a train and going to Sydney's town hall when the government has laid the track, provided the train, and built the town hall? All I did was accept what was freely offered. No amount of desire or dedication on my part could make that possible if the government had not provided the destination and the means to get there. It's almost like the government planned for me to make that journey. And yet it's still 100% my decision to go on the train. Can you see my point? We may delight in that verse from the opening of John's Gospel which says, to all who received Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. But the reality, says Paul in Ephesians 1:5, is also that God destined us for adoption as his children, through Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. How do we get to be in Christ? Is it God's will? Or is it our will? Or is it both? A paradox appears contradictory, but that doesn't mean it isn't true, as the scientists tell us about light, which travels in wavelengths as well as in particles, which seems contradictory. Having asked how we get to be in Christ, perhaps we should also ask, why do we get to be in Christ? And Paul answers that in the next verse. God destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. It's to the praise of his glorious grace, to the praise of his glory. It's all about the glory of God. If you go through the Bible and just highlight the bits where it mentions God's glory, you'll be nearly have a yellow Bible. It'll be, if you use a yellow highlighter. So much of it is about the glory of God. And Paul knew from personal experience that God's strength becomes more evident in our weakness, and that God's grace becomes more marvellous in the light of our sinfulness. And God chose us for the same reason he does everything else, including creating the universe. It is for the praise of his glory, as Paul says in verse 14. The praise of his glory. So allow me to ask another question. When are we in Christ? For many people, Christianity is about what happens when we die. It's about a certain hope or assurance that we have for the future. It's about going to heaven. But from God's perspective, our salvation has been a reality from before time began. And Paul wants us to think of it as our current experience. Paul says in verse 3 that God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, this is not a prosperity gospel where God blesses us on earth with every physical blessing. This is a reminder that while we dwell in this fallen world, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What are these spiritual blessings? Paul outlines them in Ephesians 1, 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Not to mention our adoption as children of God and the eternal inheritance that comes with it. Where are these spiritual blessings? Well, Paul said they're in the heavenly places. And who receives these spiritual blessings? Those who are in Christ. And where is Christ? Well, he's in the heavenly places, ascended and seated at the right hand of God our Father. We receive God's grace and peace in this physical world because Christ is always with us as he promised. He is in us where we are through his Spirit. But the flip side is that we are spiritually in Christ where he is in the heavenly places. Yes, it is here on earth that we try to live lives that are holy and blameless, says Paul, but it is there that we are recognized in the heavenly places as redeemed and forgiven people. It is there that we are recognized as God's adopted children. It is there that we are recognized as co-inheritors with Christ, says Paul. Ephesians 1:11, in Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will. But notice God's ultimate purpose in all this. It is in, according to Ephesians 1:12, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. That's the purpose in all of this, is that we, who first set our hope on Christ, so that's something that we did, but God predestined us to do that, so that we, who first set our hope on Christ, might live now for the praise of his glory. You see, being on God's side, and when we ask the question, whose side are you on? Being on God's side, being on the Lord's side, being in Christ, is not a passive state. It is an active witness. Think about verses like 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Everything we have in Christ is ultimately for the praise of God's glory, Paul is telling us. In the old days, I remember if you look around churches like this, you'll find little plaques. And in the old days, Christians put up plaques to say that what they were giving to the church or to God was for the glory of God. But I don't know if we think like this anymore, do we? Do we think that our actions are bringing glory to God? Well, Jesus said we should. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Peter takes up this theme in his first letter, 1 Peter 2:12. Conduct yourselves honourably among the Gentiles so that though they malign you as evildoers and you lose your job as the CEO of a club, they may see your honourable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. Peter didn't write the bit about the CEO. The reality that we are spiritually in Christ, in the heavenly places. The reality that we are spiritually in Christ, in the heavenly places, coexists with the reality that we are living in this physical world. Both are true. It doesn't mean we won't go through dark valleys just because we're in the heavenly places with God, with Christ. But it does give us a different perspective when we're there. Like, for example, when Elisha was surrounded by a physical enemy, a physical problem in this world, but saw that he was also surrounded
by God's spiritual chariots of fire, a spiritual reality in the midst of a physical reality. The spiritual reality influenced his attitude to the physical reality. It wasn't a memory of things past or a hope of things to come. It was his present experience of a current reality. And likewise, the current spiritual reality that we are in Christ, in the heavenly places, can be our present experience even while we live in this physical reality. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 2 from verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. He can't stop himself from saying, by grace you've been saved. And raised us up with him, with Christ, and seated us with him, with Christ, in the heavenly places. So say that again. God raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is our current spiritual reality as Christians. We are seated with Christ. That's what the Bible says. Now, if you are a fan of the Matrix movies, and we haven't mentioned that for a while, so I have to go and see it again. If you are a fan of the Matrix movies, you might see a parallel with being seated in one reality while living out your life in another reality. It is only by being aware of the most important reality, the real reality in that sense, that Neo is able to live and act in such an astounding way in the reality of the Matrix world. And this is why we are commanded as Christians to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. This is why the Bible reminds us to focus on the spiritual reality. Colossians 3:1-3. So if you have been raised with Christ, and Paul's saying, well, that's true, so that's a reality, it's not a question. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, when I reflect on this truth and other truths, I need to remember that what is true for me is also true for every believer in Christ. The other title we could have used for this sermon series, the other title I could have used for this sermon series is United with Christ. It's the subtitle there on the screen. United in Christ. We are on God's side. We are in Christ together. We're family. We share a common experience. We share a common bond. And we share a common purpose. Paul encourages us to live our lives together in a way that is worthy of our calling, worthy of our destined, or in a way that is to the praise of God's glory. And so we can read in Ephesians 4 from verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, the one Lord, one faith and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. This is what God has called us to, destined us to. And however the paradox of destiny and free will brought us to be in Christ, the question remains for us this morning. Are we now prepared to stand up and be counted as followers of Christ, as people who are in Christ? As Christians, we are living a spiritual reality in a physical world. Those two coexist. It's not something we look back on or look forward to. It's happening now. That is what it means to be on the Lord's side, to be on God's side. That is what it means to be in Christ. We need to remember how we got there, and we need to remember where we are going. But most of all, we need to remember to live our lives in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to the praise of God's glory. May God enable us to do so individually as his children and corporately as his church. Amen.
Good. We'll now sing our final hymn, Who is on the Lord's Side? Right, notice this.
Right. Make sure you have a cup of tea at the end and share the fellowship amongst each other, especially with Margaret. And next week we have Sue and Richard Davies. They rang up and said, we're going to be in the neighbourhood. We'll come and we will share with you next week. So come along and encourage them. You read their latest newsletters and things, which I must go and put up on our website. On our church website, you can find the latest newsletters from them. In the following week, we'll have Open Doors. And David in his prayers mentioned all of these things. And so that's a good thing that we're actually actively praying and contributing and supporting the work of these missions and people, missionaries. So next week, Sue and Richard Davies with AIM, and the following week, Open Doors. Do come along and support them and encourage them in their work, and be encouraged by the message they give us to stand up and be on the Lord's side in this world. Were there any other notices? We had people having birthdays. Any others that we know of? Oh, Russ had a great sing-along at the Willoughby. There you go, you did all right. Any other notices people want to give?
Okay. A quick one from me. If you happen to be in Chatswood Plaza at 10 o'clock next Saturday morning, you'll see me and 40 or 50 of my musician friends putting on a performance in Lane Cove Plaza. There'll be a short break, and then the big band version will be up for another hour, so between 10 and 12 next Saturday.
You said both Chatswood and Lane Cove.
Right, thank you. Chatswood. Go to Chatswood. If you go to Lane Cove, we're not there.
There's a charity that is looking after the refugees that have come out from Ukraine, and they are looking for donations, particularly good clean bedding. So if anybody happens to have anything, I'll be taking stuff over in a couple of weeks' time, but let me know if you've got anything and I can come and collect it and we can help these beautiful people that have come over here.
Let us finish with this final prayer. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
Morning to you served.